This is Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact, a co-production of Bloomberg and Federal News Radio.
Welcome to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. This is the place where government actions come face-to-face with business decisions. Online at www.bgov.com and, of course, on the air at Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This week, we're tackling a topic that is truly a business impact of a government action. We're talking sequester. President Obama had this to say about sequestration.
Congress is poised to allow a series of arbitrary automatic budget cuts to kick in that will slow our economy, eliminate good jobs, and leave a lot of folks who are already pretty thinly stretched scrambling to figure out what to do.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano had these words to say.
Put simply, the automatic budget reduction mandated by sequestration would be disruptive and destructive to our nation's security and economy.
Something that I didn't know, and maybe you didn't either, is that Congress kind of prepared for this. They're doing it completely different than everybody else. And here, the man who enlightened me to this very topic is Dr. Kevin Brancato, Senior Defense Analyst with Bloomberg Government. Hey, Kevin.
It's great to be here.
Thank you. So, 18 months we've had to prepare for this. Congress actually heeded their own warnings and prepared. No one else did. What did they do different?
Maybe it's not true that no one else prepared, but Congress has been pretty clear about what it plans to do and what it has planned to do to adjust to the lower levels of spending and budgets that sequestration offer. So it's very clear now. Congress had prepared for an 8.2% cut, roughly, to its budget on January 2nd. That didn't happen. It was delayed. Now it's a 5.3% cut to this fiscal 13 budget. And so those plans that it had made for cuts in staff, to a committee staff, to personal staff, to the institutions like Congressional Research Service, Congressional Budget Office, GAO, those are already in force. Those right. are already happening. The managers of those offices realized the sequester would happen and took preemptive action by essentially not hiring new personnel, not getting new IT programs started, and other actions to delay putting money on contract and delay spending money on new personnel. That way, they are already in place. They do not have to, GAO said, it does not have to furlough personnel, unlike the rest of the federal government, which would need to basically put people on unpaid leave up to one day a week for the rest of the fiscal year. GAO said, nope, we got that covered. Don't worry about it. Congress may not be so fortunate. Some of the staffs may have to issue furloughs, but they have other options. Congress, unlike the rest of the executive branch agencies, has the option for reducing salaries. So unlike the rest of the executive agencies, which one day a week you get off and you don't get paid, Congress has said, well, one day a week you don't get paid, but you have to work.
Right, right.
And so that's a very interesting thing, but it's not clear that that's going to happen. And so overall, they appear to be in a much better position than some of the executive branch agencies like the Department of Defense, who was told specifically, do not reduce your levels of spending. At this point, we don't know for any of those agencies how much they've spent, so we can't tell the effect of sequestration.
So this could be
going
even deeper
forward.
Than we imagined.
Well, I tend to think it's less than we imagined.
Really?
Given the scare stories that we've heard, oh my God, planes are not going to fly. There's going to be huge waits at the airports. There's going to be releasing of all of lots of people from immigration jails and the like, lots of different things that are happening. Well, we don't know if agencies have spent at the levels that they expected after sequester. Then it's just a 5% cut. But if agencies have spent as if sequester hasn't going to happen, then it could be a double effect, 10% cut. Then you would see some drastic changes. But those substantial drastic changes are likely what you would see in fiscal 14 next year. Because remember, sequester is not just a one-time event.
Right.
It's a nine-year event, and it happens. And that reduction from an 8.2% cut to a 5.3% cut for non-defense agencies, well, that 8.2% is likely the sort of cut you would see in fiscal 14. The budget levels would be lower to that amount. So the cuts that we're seeing now, if nothing is done about sequester, that's what you've got. So they better learn to deal with that lower levels of budget.
We're speaking with Dr. Kevin Brancato. He recently released a piece called Congress Faces Sequester Cuts as Dollars Disappear. It's a BGov insight. You can find it on BGov.com. Congress, One thing that I found interesting as I was reviewing the how the cuts are going to be played out, especially on the Hill, Congress kind of exempted themselves.
They're not.
I mean, to a certain extent, yes, they're going to feel the pain because their staff will be feeling the pain potentially.
Yes, it looks bad. So there are very few programs that are exempt from sequestration. In the military side, military personnel pay. Mm-hmm. On the non-defense side, even Coast Guard personnel pay are truly exempt from sequestration. Those accounts are not hit. And there are very few other sorts of accounts that are not hit. Medicare is limited to a 2% cut in many of its programs. But this OMB, Office of Management and Budget, issued a report in response to congressional demand. They said, well, tell me everything that's going to be sequestered and how much and what's exempt from sequester. And they went through line by line in the budget accounts, 1,300 budget accounts or so, and said what was exempt and not. And they listed why everything was exempt, except for the pay of the House of Representatives and Senate.
Right.
And it just says exempt. And it doesn't list why the pay is exempt, which is very interesting, and I'm not sure people have resolved this issue. Some people have said it's because Congress can't lower its own pay unless there's an election in between. Well, we've had an election between
yes.
The law was passed, so it looks like this is just an attempt to make sure that there's not friction between the executive and legislative branch, where the executive is trying to cut the pay of the legislators. So it sort of solves a problem, perhaps a constitutional problem. Legislators are free to donate whatever they wish to the Treasury. And so, like some folks in the Department of Defense have said, that they will take a pay cut, voluntary pay cut, along with some of their personnel. Congress may choose to do the same. But remember, Congress has also had the opportunity to adjust other contract spending. So it may not have to reduce salaries or furlough personnel, so it wouldn't have to take its own pay. But this exemption is very interesting. And that we're always told, but there's very little flexibility in this law. Everything has to be cut across the board. And that's true. And there are large buckets from which members of Congress, for their own staffs, or even heads of the military services for their operation and maintenance budgets have flexibility to pick and choose, but there are other accounts where they don't get to pick and choose. For example, in Congress, the Capitol Police, they've got these budget accounts. Well, it's the Capitol Police. Now, these are pretty big, and they may be able to delay purchases of computers or new cars rather than staff salaries and expenses. But it's not clear. OMB has not said how the Capitol Police are affected. I would presume it's at the topmost level, and they would grant them the most flexibility possible. And I've been asked before, what does this mean for the Capitol Police? Well, it means they'll make do with less. What it means.
Yeah, you know, with a relatively low approval rating on Capitol Hill, one would assume that the people who are garnered with the task of protecting those on the Hill who did not take pay cuts for no apparent good reason at this
yes.
point, you would assume that those fine men and women working for the Capitol Police would be exempt.
No, they are not. And in fact, to prioritize, let's say Congress said, you know, all those GAO reports that we need, we could do without 10% of them. GAO, thank you very much for taking preemptive action and making sure that you don't have to furlough personnel, but we need more cuts from you to add to the Capitol Police. They can't do that.
Right.
They don't have the flexibility to do that. And what's interesting about that is that they can just sort of wash their hands of the problem. It happens. It happens across the board. And I think right now we've seen a huge amount of rhetoric that this is awful, devastating, and yeah, the cuts will be bad. And I think in 1986, when President Reagan issued the order, he had a signing statement to go along with his sequestration, and he called the method imperfect.
Right.
I think we're at a stage in our discussion about this that nobody's using the word imperfect. They're using far more aggressive language to describe this.
Far more colorful language.
More colorful language. But if agencies have held back, then it's not going to be nearly as bad. So those plans that you have seen for, you know, holding back the deployment of an aircraft carrier, that's realistic.
Right.
Is it a worst-case scenario? Yeah, but the Department of Defense might be boxed into many worst-case scenarios. The Department of Homeland Security, on the other hand, I mean, I've heard that they had plans in January to be able to address an 8.2% cut. Now we're talking about a 5.3% cut. But all of a sudden, disaster is stricken. Why is that?
How much of this is smoke and mirrors, like a power play?
It's really difficult to downplay when somebody is in management and they have all the numbers at their disposal. How much they spent, how much they will spend, what they can delay, what they can choose. We don't have the information about that.
Right.
All we do know is what they have chosen to release the Office of Management and Budget in each of the departments. But they have not been releasing accounting statements. They have not been releasing alternative plans and strategies. They have been releasing political documents as very sensible. It's a big policy discussion, and lots of folks would like to reverse sequestration, even for a short amount of time, and they've been playing up this part. Cuts are a big problem. We have to undo them. That's the first thing they'd like to do. So they don't even want to admit something a little bit lesser, that if they had flexibility to pick and choose what to cut, whereas the cuts would still be bad from their perspective, they wouldn't be as severe. That is the most feasible option. You may not even get that right away, but I would see in Congress, when they're trying to provide funding for the remainder of the year, remember, the government is operating under a CR or continuing resolution through March 27th, and there's a threat of shutdown right. for the government after that. But there's already backroom discussions to provide funding for the rest of the year. Well, they don't want to provide funding just to, say, extend the CR to the end of the year, because the CR has problems. And one of the major problems is, in legislation, it says no new starts. So you can't start a new program, a new contract using this money. It delays lots of things.
Right.
So an extended CR would provide this flexibility for new starts. It would also likely provide, at some level, to the department heads, flexibility to pick and choose where to put their funding. By doing that, it's possible they could say, you know that sequestration order where we said you're going to cut from X, Y, and Z? You could pick and choose where you're going to put your budgets and where you're going to take your money to. Well, that would, without raising budget caps, without altering the debate, would greatly enhance the response capability of the government. But it would also greatly diminish, perhaps, the public visibility to sequestration. And I think people are concerned about the Washington Monument tactic, mm-hmm. which is highly visible national parks and other areas that the public visits would be disproportionately affected on purpose to try to make sequester look bad. I can't tell if that's really going to happen, where that should happen or needs to happen, because there's a lot of backroom stuff that does need to happen. And that, you know, you could say, well, it's all these, you know, publicly visible things that can really easily be cut without concern. But yeah, I think it's possible that there's a lot of stuff that's going on, will go on after sequester, that you probably could very easily avoid with flexibility and should be avoiding with flexibility.
You have been talking about, by the way, we're speaking with Dr. Kevin Brancato on Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about sequestration. You and everybody at Bloomberg Government has been doing diligent research on the sequester for quite some time now. Did you ever imagine that it would come to this?
Yes.
You did.
Yes. We had this is why we've been writing about this for a year, because we had arguments in our analysis shop. Some people were saying, it's a sequester, it's a terrible idea. Congress has said they're going to pass a law. It's going to be so severe, nobody would ever consider they'd allow it to happen. But the appropriations process is broken. It's been broken for a long time, and Congress is not the best at solving these issues. And so they set up a system that required them to come to an agreement on very contentious issues. That is not good. And so we had, and I think what we realized is very quickly that it wasn't really our opinion that mattered here, that we saw that it was important. We had a couple early briefs last year to folks in our office, and as we were talking, we're realizing, wait a minute, we have everyone's attention. So much so that for an hour, nobody looked at their BlackBerries. Then we realized it's not just us.
Right.
Folks who are in the know realize that there's an issue here that is likely not to be resolved. And so we just kept writing about it. What would happen if? What would happen if? People say, well, it would never happen, never happen. Well, now we're at what would happen if.
Yeah.
And people want to know. And people, we've been pretty much prepared for it. I think the key issues to focus on right now are they going to get flexibility? And if so, how does that affect different groups disproportionately?
Right.
For example, in the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection is about 70% personnel, 30% contracting. Well, they want to maintain their personnel. And so what's going to be cut? Is it going to be 70% personnel first sequester and 30% contracting? Or is it going to be mostly contracting? I tend to think it's going to be mostly contracting. So whereas most of the agencies have said, we'll furlough personnel if we have to, one day a week, if they have to, unpaid. They're not firing anyone.
Right.
Part of that is that they have to offer severance, right? So it's costly proposition to fire somebody. But part of that also limits the amounts that they agencies will take from personnel and increases the amounts proportionally to grants and contracts. Because there's only so many buckets they can take the money from.
Sure.
So if there's flexibility, they will be taking money more from grants and more from contracts and less from personnel in a likely scenario, not because even if they want to, but because of the furlough limit, 22 days. So they just don't want to have to fire personnel. So there's an interesting set of choices. With or without flexibility, folks, some programs are disproportionately hit.
So I'm riding the train home yesterday on the MARC train, and sequestration had never been a topic of conversation at all, ever. Where yesterday, that's all I heard about on the train, as many employees, and I know which department they worked for, I'm not going to say what it was, were talking about an email they had received just yesterday that they had to acknowledge and agree to certain terms with regard to a furlough. Word is just now getting out to them about this. They've known it was coming for quite some time, but here we are. It's happening, it appears.
Yes.
and they're now being hit with the terms of what they're going to have to accept. And to say they were not happy about it was an understatement.
Yes. To get forced unpaid leave.
Right.
And maybe some agencies are going to allow this once issued, where some will be allowed to take it as essentially an unpaid vacation in bulk, whereas others will be staggered once a week.
Right.
It really isn't an agency's discretion how to do this. They can literally command their employees to take things on a certain time and adjust the schedule. But if they have the option of making their employees happy.
Well, of course. Of course.
With this, in this situation, they would rather do so. But again, the issue is how, when I said the funding was going to be taken from the contracting side, that's where the people are going to be fired.
Of course.
They're not going to be furloughed. They're going to be fired. They're not going to have salary reductions.
Yeah, it's like 46,000 temporary Defense Department employees. Just Defense Department employees.
Well, that's, yes, and that makes, well, that makes some sense. But, and if you had to prioritize, you would not get rid of all those.
No,
but they could.
No, of course.
And
that's
with
that's
relatively
a pool
costless
from
terms.
Which they can draw.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate. I mean, there are lots of folks I know in the defense contracting world that are jitters right now.
Right.
And that is very sensible. I spoke to a Homeland Security conference just yesterday, and there are prime contractors of the government that they've been provided very little information. They can't even, because the way sequester hits is across all these budget accounts. These guys work on contracts, and contracts can pull from multiple budgets. So they can't really tell exactly, oh, and there's multiple contracts pulled from the same budget account. What's going to be reduced? What's going to be cut? They can't tell. So they're very unsettled at this point. They want to know, are we taking a disproportionate cut? How is this going to happen? Well, I mean, I figured it would be a proportionate, that they would take 70-30 like CBP. I tend to think more, and what we saw from the Department of Defense is there can be a greater share from contracts because they are limited. But that's in the current fiscal year. Moving forward, Congress and the President have to agree on budgets to meet these lower caps in law. Then they'll be able to say, okay, in terms of personnel, how do we want to change our government personnel? How do we want to change our contracting strategy? It's when they have to meet these caps, because sequestration, this across-the-board cut, doesn't have to happen in 14 through 21 if the President and Congress agree to this lower spending amount. But if they want more money and put more money in the system that's not exempt, then there'll be a sequestration at the beginning of every single year. But I don't see this broad vision for how the government would move ahead under sequestration. There's a major question whether the president's budget request for 14, slated to come out now in the middle of March, will be consistent with these lower caps. It will be very difficult to get an alternative plan for each department consistent with the caps if the president does not release one, because he's in charge of all the agencies. And the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, NASA, HHS, they have to make these plans, their acquisition plans for new IT systems, for security, for the military bases, for weapon systems. They have to make these plans now for a long range. Not all those make it into the budget for the Defense Department. They do have 5 years worth of planning for all these programs. It's a huge amount of detail. But the other agencies have internal plans that they don't necessarily provide. They have to rejigger those as well to be consistent with lower amounts of spending. If the president's budget request doesn't have that, then I think we're, again, mired in this problem. What's going to happen next year? Oh, okay, we plan to have so many agents, we have far fewer. The debate doesn't get resolved, but it's not clear in D.C. that anyone wants to resolve the debate. Certainly, sequestration has been the Bloomberg Government Analyst Full Employment Act, because there has been nothing else that people want to hear from. Just today, I've answered several questions from folks across equity markets in New York and in agencies in the federal government. I think in D.C., though, it hit hard home right away, right now. And we haven't seen that yet in terms of any of the spending numbers locally, because the data's lagged. Mm-hmm. But it's very likely you see that now. Because a huge share of the personnel in this area are either contractors or federal civilian workers. And yes, you're going to see this right away. I would say you see it in employment markets. Of course, you're going to see this dizzying as people are trying to reapply to other places. You'll see it in housing markets. You'll see it in retail. And locally, it's going to be very, maybe not ugly is not the right word, but you haven't really seen it yet.
Right.
Right. You've seen stories about it, about what will happen.
Merely speculative at this point, based on the numbers that they're pulling out of what has been reported.
Yes. And there have been estimates in the past about the disastrous effect of sequester on the economy. Well, we have multiple issues. We have a huge budget deficit that sequester is meant to partly avert, right? And then people say, well, this is happening at the worst time in the cycle. Well, I can't really say, but half of the $85 billion fiscal 13 sequester would have been actually spent in fiscal 13, the rest in future years. And so you've got a partial cut now and a greater cut later, and it increases. But this is on borrowed money. So the net effect of the long run depends really on what economists believe deficit spending does. I'm not going to go into the debates back or forth, but either you believe deficit spending is going to help in the long run, or you think it's going to hinder in the long run. But in the short run, no one disagrees. It's pain. And I think that's the consistent story you see everywhere.
Interesting, frustrating, scary, all adjectives that could be used to describe, along with plenty more, to describe what the future holds. And I know that Dr. Kevin Brancato will come back to keep us filled in, correct?
Yeah.
Secretary Janet Napolitano is here.
We will always put a priority on maintaining the safety of the American people. But what that is going to require and the impacts people are going to see is that lines, procedures, wait times are all going to get longer. So, for example, if you're traveling by air, you're going to have to start getting to the airport earlier. And if you're trying to make a connecting flight, you're going to have to make your arrangements to give you greater time with which to do that. And if you're trying to bring cargo over a land port of entry, you're going to have to prepare for some very long lines.
Hundreds of thousands of federal workers could be put on notice that they could be furloughed in the event of sequestration. However, you do have some place you may be able to turn. If you're furloughed and you qualify, you may appeal to the Merit System Protection Board. It's an independent agency with just over 200 employees who, by the way, will also be subject to the sequester. You need more information? Check out federalnewsradio.com or WTOP.com. Search furlough. We'll be back next week. Plenty more to say about the business impact of government actions.
Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.